good afternoon. Come in, come in. Let me offer you a glass of sherry, a tale or two, and perhaps one of my priceless antiques.
Tales of Antiquity. Stories of the romantic past captured through the eyes and ears of Eustace Glean, collector extraordinary. His story for today,
The Birth of a Bestseller. One glass of my very best Madeira at your side. Now, today I have something rather unusual to show you. The very first... There we are. The very first draft of Lady Susan, a novel in letters by Jane Austen. One of our first great lady novelists. Let me tell you about her early life, a somewhat poignant tale, but well worth the hearing. Jane Austen was born on the 16th of December, 1775, in the village of Steventon, Hampshire, where her father, the Reverend George Austen, was rector. The Austens were a large family, Jane being number seven of a family of eight children. Life at the rectory was lively, even though Steventon was buried in the heart of the country and the nearest town was 20 miles away. The children's father was something of a scholar who encouraged his offspring into an active interest in literature and the arts. Their mother, too, was a celebrity in her own right. Coming from a well-connected family, she had a ready wit and was famed for her impromptu verses and stories. It was mainly due to Mrs. Austen's influence that the rectory barn was converted into a tiny theatre for holiday plays for friends and relatives. However, it was during the summer of Jane's 21st year that Mrs. Austen struck up a friendship with Mrs. Lefroy of nearby Deansworth Park, where Mr. Lefroy was rector of the local church. Mrs. Lefroy was plagued by a summer chill, and Mrs. Austen and her daughter Jane had decided upon a friendly visit. It was on the 15th of June, 1796, and a fine summer's afternoon.
Oh, I am fond of this drive to Deansworth Park. Are not you, Mum?
To be sure, Jane. Most pleasant. Though I must speak to Mr. Cornley upon the subject of these roads.
Who is Mr. Cornley, Mum?
Oh, heavens, Jane, are you totally ignorant? Mr. Cornley is Squire Bancroft's agent, and as such is responsible for the upkeep of his property. How might any self-respecting gentlewoman be expected to travel under such undignified conditions? Ah, I see we're all but at the rectory now.
Now, it so happened that Mrs. Lefroy had no more a summer chill than Jane or her mother, but employed the device of illness in order to draw visitors to her bedside and thus keep abreast of current events. Jane and her mother had been with Mrs. Lefroy a mere 15 minutes when the Reverend himself arrived, accompanied by his nephew Tom, whom he had been to collect at Romsey stage office. For Mr. Lefroy Jr. had recently arrived from Dublin and was to be the guest of his aunt and uncle for the summer months. He was a tall, handsome fellow of some 25 years, who appeared most taken with Jane when she was presented to him. Jane at this time had pretty dark eyes and comely chestnut curls framing a delicate, heart-shaped face. Aware that young Mr. Lefroy and her daughter were somewhat taken with each other, Mrs. Austen suggested that perhaps Mr. Lefroy would enjoy being shown his aunt's excellent rose garden. She was certain her daughter would have no objection. Jane assured her mother that she would not, and the two young people took themselves into Mrs. Lefroy's garden for a gentle stroll, whilst Mrs. Austen and her friend continued with their tete-a-tete.
And how do you mean to spend your time at Deansworth Park, Mr. Lefroy?
Simply by enjoying the local countryside, and, of course, the company of my aunt and uncle. Such a pity my aunt should be plagued with one of her tiresome summer chills.
Yes, indeed.
I wonder, would you consider it something of an impertinence if I were to request that you accompany me?
Accompany?
Acquaint me, should I say, with the local scene.
Why, Mr. Lefroy, nothing would suit me more. Except I fear that my mother and I, indeed the entire family, are currently engaged with the wooing of Sarah Oates.
Mr. Lefroy confessed to being somewhat baffled at this, but Jane explained that it was a play that she had composed especially for the family. At this, Mr. Lefroy requested that he might be allowed to view the piece. Jane then pointed out that they were still practicing. It was at this point that Mrs. Austin was heard calling her daughter to return to the house.
Jane! Jane, we must be off!
You will excuse me, Mr. Lefroy. Mother wishes to depart.
Do say I may at least watch you at your practice.
Jane! Where are you?
Here, Mama. Very well, Mr. Lefroy. We shall look forward to seeing you at Steventon. We perform in the old rectory barn each afternoon at 2.
Jane!
It was upon the return journey to Steventon that Mrs. Austin expressed her displeasure that Jane had seen fit to wander out of view. But, as Jane pointed out, it was at her mother's suggestion that she had ventured into the garden at all.
To be sure, child, but I had hoped you would have the good sense to remain within view and not immediately disappear behind the hollyhocks. Why, the gentleman is all but a stranger to us.
Jane made her apologies and told her mother on Mr. Lefroy's request.
I trust you had the good sense to say yes.
Why, Mama,
do not look dismayed, child. You are past 21, and your sister Cassandra somewhat older. A mother must look to the future of her chicks. However, if you do not find the gentleman pleasing, then I dare say your sister Cassandra will snap him up.
Mama!
It was some time during the following week that Mr. Lefroy decided upon a visit to Steventon. It seemed that one of the village players had disappointed everyone by announcing his inability to take part in the current drama, and Jane's father was attempting the role of the dashing young juvenile that was way beyond the reverend's scope. It was upon seeing Mr. Lefroy sitting in the auditorium that Mrs. Austin had a brainwave. Why not allow Mr. Lefroy to take over the role?
Oh, no, Mrs. Austin, I really do not think...
Nonsense! My dear Mr. Lefroy, you will make an excellent Captain Standish.
Quite so, my dear.
Awkward at first, Mr. Lefroy gradually warmed to his role, expressing himself with great sincerity as the weeks passed.
Oh, how blind I have been. I love you. I've always loved you, yet been afraid that you should know. Oh, my dearest, I have been blind. How might a man have eyes and not see, possess sentiment and sensibilities, yet be so insensible? I implore you, my dearest Sarah, marry me.
I...
Will you marry me, Miss Austin?
Oh. Yes. Yes.
Night, Jane confided to her sister Cassandra of the amazing events of that afternoon. Cassandra, naturally, was sceptical.
Proposed?
Yes.
On stage?
Yes.
This afternoon?
Yes.
Rubbish.
But it certainly was not rubbish, for the following morning, Mr. Lefroy spoke to Mr. Austin in his study after matins.
Jane...
Yes, Papa?
I have just had an interview with Mr. Lefroy. He informs me that he desires your hand in marriage.
Yes, Papa.
Also, that he had already proposed.
Yes, Papa.
And that you have already accepted.
Well, that is a...
Well?
Yes, Papa.
Well, if that is your desire, there would be little more for me to add.
Papa, you mean you...
I mean, I think Mr. Lefroy will make an excellent son-in-law.
Oh, Papa!
It was not to be a long engagement, a mere 18 months, which seemed to simply fly along at a most alarming rate, for it seemed in no time at all that the eve of the impending nuptials arrived, and still a heap of unattended details to be taken care of. As for Jane's wedding gown, there was still the final fitting to be done, with the bare 18 hours left before the ceremony was due to take place. However, the weather decided at the final hour not to smile favorably upon the young lovers.
Oh, dear. This wretched storm. I do hope it stops before dearest Tom sets out for Steventon, Mama.
Oh, do stop squatting, Jane. We've another 12 hours. I'm sure the storm will have abated long before your precious Mr. Lefroy is due to arrive for the ceremony. Now hold still whilst I complete my pinning. Jane, I think you should be sensible and come to bed.
I could not sleep, Mama.
But nothing will be achieved by sitting at the window all night. And think how you will look for your wedding. Rest assured, my dear, that he will be safely tucked in his bed. Now come, my dear, you must get some rest.
I could not sleep. Mama, I could not.
So, the storm continued throughout the night, with the ferocity of two tomcats spitting and snarling at each other, finally wearing itself out in the early hours. Dawn broke upon a wet and ravaged countryside. 8:30 arrived, and still no sign of Mr. Lefroy. Eventually, urged on by his deeply concerned wife and daughter, Mr. Austin decided upon a visit to Deansworth Park. Mr. Lefroy expressed surprise upon seeing Mr. Austin, for he and his wife were about to set out for Steventon themselves that very moment. Upon inquiry, he told Mr. Austin that Tom had set forth for Steventon late the previous afternoon. Immediately, a search was instituted, with every available hand in the Lefroy estate participating.
Oh, it is hopeless, Mr. Lefroy. Not a sign.
I think I see something, what? Sir, is over here. Quiet!
Papa? Tom, is it found?
Yes, my dear. We... His horse must have bolted with the lightning. He must have struck his head on a branch. We found him lying in a ditch 5 miles away. He must have lain there throughout the night. I'm sorry, my dear.
All night? Alone? To die?
Jane, where are you going?
Leave me, please.
Jane,
are you... Good morning, Papa.
Jane, my dear, you cannot remain here in your room day after day. It is now 6 months since...
Since dearest Tom died, yes. But you have no call to worry on my account, Papa.
But you must do something with your life.
What I do, Papa? See? I write. Volume the first, volume the second, volume the third. Lady Susan.
Oh, yes, my dear. I have read your Lady Susan.
And now, Eleanor and Marianne. Although I do toy with another title, Sense and Sensibility.
Excellent. And so, we must find you a publisher. In fact, I have already written...
Oh, but, Papa, I write merely to pass the time. For my amusement. Whoever would care to publish my nonsensical scribblings?
Oh, indeed. And yet... Miss Austin grew to be the widest-read authoress of her time and is still upon the best-sellers list. Here, take it. Read it, if you haven't already done so. Good afternoon. Do pop in again when you're passing. I'm always here.
That was Tales of Antiquity, written and produced by Kenneth Henry.